This is Alive with Joseph.
Hallelujah. I'm excited to be in the house of the Lord. David said, I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of God. Amen. Let's read our scriptures this morning that you're going to announce my teaching, the topic of my teaching to five people. So let's read the scriptures quickly. It says, now Moses, Numbers 12 verse 3, now Moses was a very humble man, more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth. 1 John chapter 5 verse 4 says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. You know, there's a slogan that is all over, you know, this nation, and the slogan is always like this. It goes, it says, no DNA, just RSA. No DNA, just RSA. Which is a rallying cry for national pride in sports and in success. When we succeed as South Africans, we use that slogan a lot. Now, that slogan means that success comes from hard work, determination, and unity, rather than the inherent genetic advantage that some people may have. It is often used to celebrate South Africans' triumph in a wide range of field of sports. You know, in every area, we use it to celebrate our triumph and our success. And this morning, I'm going to draw my topic and my teaching from that slogan. Now, I want you to walk up the five people. Look at them straight in the eyes, eyeball to eyeball, and say to them, no DNA, just Christ. No DNA, just Christ. No DNA, just Christ. I have no genetic advantage. My advantage is Jesus. My advantage is not my own hard work. My advantage is Christ. No DNA, just Christ. Now, if you have done that, give Jesus your praise. Hallelujah. Please, you may be seated. I'm going to try and lay a foundation tonight on a two-part series I'm building up. I'll finish it next week, Sunday. And it is, I'm dealing with the series I titled, I Don't Have Identity Crisis. I don't know how to go about it or to, you know, ask those questions. So this morning, I need all of your attention. I'm just going to lay the foundation. And next week, we're going to run off in different directions. Hallelujah. So you don't have, so as a believer, you must understand that you do not have identity crisis. Why? Because Christ Jesus is your identity. And at the end of the service, by the time you return to that office, you are returning as Christ in the name of Jesus. I say you are returning as Christ in the name of Jesus. I say you are returning as Christ in the name of Jesus. By the time the service is over, you are returning to that marketplace as Christ in the name of Jesus. Why? Because in him you live, in him you move, and in him you have your being. And Christ in you, the Bible tells us, is the hope of glory. Give Jesus praise this morning. I say give Jesus praise this morning. Now, when you study your Bible very well, one of the things you will get to see is Jesus. And once you have seen Jesus, your salvation is delivered to you. We're continuing, is our Jubilee series, and I've been sharing that Jesus is our Jubilee. I just sense that we need to have a clear understanding of all of this for us to be able to, you know, grasp fully everything that God has in store for us. So when you study the Bible, once you have seen Jesus, salvation is delivered to you. Now, the purpose of your Bible study is to see Jesus. The purpose of your Bible study is to see Jesus. Understand that Jesus is the final destination of every Bible study. Why? Because Jesus is the Word of God. Jesus is not a theme. Jesus is a revelation. Jesus is not a theme. Jesus is a revelation. Therefore, anytime you and I study the Bible, or anytime you study the Bible and you didn't see Jesus in your reading, you have not studied properly or you have not read properly. Because the Bible is not a history book. The Bible is a salvation document. The Bible is not a history book. The Bible is a salvation document. The Apostle Paul, speaking to Timothy, his son, he said to him in the book of 2 Timothy, Timothy chapter 3 verse 15, he said, and that from a child you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. You have known the Holy Scriptures, and the knowledge of the Holy Scriptures makes you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So every time you read your Bible, you strive to see Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is the Word of God. Jesus is the Word of God. The Word of God is a person. The Word of God is a person. The Word of God is a person. I repeat, the Word of God is a person. The Bible is a book. The Word of God is a person. The Bible is a book. The Bible, the book, can fall to the ground, but the Word of God cannot fall to the ground. Why? Because the Word of God is a person, and his name is Jesus Christ. So the Word of God is older than the Bible. The Word of God is older than the Bible. I repeat, the Word of God is older than the Bible. John 1:1 tells us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So the Word of God is a person, and his name is Jesus. And the Word of God is older than the Bible. The Bible is a document of salvation. The Word of God is a person, and that person is Jesus Christ himself. Now, when you look at John chapter 5, verse 39, the Bible says, search the Scriptures. Jesus speaking, he says, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. So he said, I am the eternal life they are looking for when they search the Scriptures. That is why any journey taken to look for God outside of Christ ends up in idolatry. Any journey anyone undertakes, or any journey anyone takes in looking for God, and they do that outside of Christ, they end up in idolatry. They end up in witchcraft. They end up in all kinds of things. They end up seeing their ancestors and all other kinds of things that are unnecessary. Why? Because they undertook a journey looking for God without Christ. Understand that any journey that you take in your search for God, and you are doing it outside of Christ, you will end up in idolatry. And that is why we see people will always say, you know, that there are many ways to God. My friend, there are no many ways to God. There is only one way to God. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. You without him, you cannot get to God. There are no other ways to God. You don't get to God through your ancestors. No way. That grandfather, great grandfather of whatever, you know, whatever age and how old they have lived, praise be to God for their lives. But you cannot get to God through them. There is only one way to God. There is only one way to God. And that way is our Lord Jesus Christ. Any other road and routes that you use to want to get to God, you will end up in witchcraft. You end up in idolatry. And that is why you must be careful, because you will hang around people who tell you, you know, where I'm trying to reach God through amandlozi. They go to graves. They go to other. My friend, leave the dead alone. The dead is dead and dead and dead and dead, and their bones are rotting in the grave. If they can save themselves, they could have come out of the grave. Listen, friends, and if they are not born again, they have gone to hellfire. Pastor, don't judge. I'm not judging. I'm just giving simple, you know, Bible instruction. It says, except a man be born again, he cannot. So if they are not born again, they have died without confessing Jesus as their Lord and Savior. No matter how you have decorated that grave, they are in hell. Because the only way access to heaven is through confessing Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. Give Jesus praise this morning. Please give Jesus praise this morning. So any other way we undertake in getting to God outside of Christ will lead to idolatry, because you cannot access God without Jesus. Jesus is the Word of God. Let's prove it further. Revelation chapter 19, verse 11 to 13. I'll give you so many scriptures, but it's good for your spiritual health. Amen. Revelation chapter 19 from verse 11 to 13, it says, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in the blood, and his name is called what? The Word of God. Hallelujah. Now, 1 John chapter 5, verse 7 says, "And for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one." Did you see that? These three are one. They are not separated from each other. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. He didn't say the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. He said the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, because Jesus is the Word of God. So when you study the Bible and you do not see Jesus, you have not read properly. You have not done proper study, because every time we open the pages of the Bible, we are to find Jesus in the pages of the Bible. Listen, friends, Jesus is the common harmony in Scripture. Jesus is the consistent symphony in the Bible. Jesus is the Word of God. When you read your Bible, you must see Jesus. When you study Scriptures, you must see Jesus, because the pot containing the soup is not the soup. The soup is simply the soup is simply inside the pot. What do I mean by that? The Bible is not the Word of God. The Bible is the pot. Jesus, the Word of God, is the soup. So the Bible contains the soup. Are you understanding me, friends? Give Jesus praise if you understand. Some of you are clapping like, now give Jesus praise if you understand. That's it. Bible study, it will help you. It will help you, because we live in a time where many believers are confused. That is why you see a believer today is a Christian. Tomorrow they are worshiping in Yanga. You're asking yourself, what went wrong? How did it all go wrong? That someone once was a believer and now they are saying that they are called by their ancestors. Now they are doing all kinds of funny things. It's because they have no clear understanding of who Jesus is and what it is all about. Listen, the Bible is the pot. Jesus, the Word of God, is the soup. The pot is not the soup. The soup is only inside the pot. Are you understanding me this morning? Are you understanding me this morning? So when you read your Bible, you must see Jesus. When you read your Bible, you must see Jesus. That is why, you know, you and I must read our Bible. Why must we read our Bible? We read our Bible because in it contains the revelation of the person called the Word of God. In the Bible contains the revelation of the person called the Word of God. That is why if you don't read your Bible, you will not gain access to the revelation of the person called the Word of God. You cannot get the revelation of the person called the Word of God outside of you reading the Bible. You cannot get it by vision. You cannot get it by dreams of the night. You cannot get it by trance. You cannot get it by prophecy. I said to you 2 weeks ago that your faith is not built by prophecy. Your faith is built by you discovering the revelation of the one called the Word of God. And the only way you can gain access is through the Bible. Give Jesus praise this morning. I said, give Jesus praise this morning. So you must read the Bible. The Bible also has a bias. Jesus is the bias of the Scriptures. The Bible is not a history book. The Bible is a document of salvation. The Bible is a document of salvation. That is why you must stop entertaining and asking unnecessary questions that brings strife. Questions like, who is the Father of God? The Bible is not a history book. Who, you know, where did God come from? You know, and all of those funny things. And we try to come up with theories where God came from. You know, who was the Peter's wife? You know, why was Peter? Listen, they're irrelevant. Are you understanding me this morning? All we want to know is who Jesus is. All we want to know in the Bible, anything that God is silent in, we are silent as well. Anything that God is vocal on, we are vocal as well. And God is vocal in the Bible about Jesus. You and I also must be vocal about Jesus in the Bible. Give Jesus praise this morning. Give Jesus praise. Hallelujah. So, the Bible is a book to find out who Jesus is. Jesus is the main character of the Scriptures. Jesus is the main character of the Scriptures. For example, when you're watching a movie, You will notice some people who are just moving around the set of the movie. They are all called extras. Now, whatever is happening to the main character is not their business. They are just extras. They are there to make the movie relatable. They are there to make the movie relatable. So there are people in the Bible who are just extras. They are not the main character. They are not, their presence or absence does not affect the main character, who is Jesus Christ. Are you understanding me now? Their presence or absence doesn't affect the main character, who is Jesus. The same way, the presence of an extra or the absence thereof doesn't affect the main character. The main character who the movie revolves around, that is the main person. The focus is on the main person. The reason why we have the extras is so that the movie can be relatable. When you see the character, the main character in the restaurant, is so that you can know that, you know, people go to restaurants, is relatable. Are you understanding me this morning? Give Jesus praise. Amen. Give him praise. The challenge of the modern day believer is many believers are concentrating on the extras in the Bible. So they are missing the point. Who is Jesus? Christ Jesus is the main character of the scriptures. And if the extras in the Bible is not leading to Jesus, then it is not important. If the extras in the Bible is not leading to Jesus, then it is not important. So the Bible has a bias, and Jesus is the bias of scriptures. Thunder amen to that. Now, when you read the Bible, or when you read the book of Matthew chapter 1 from verse 1 to 17, I think it stops in verse 15 or so. Now, when you read, it's about genealogy. It was about the introduction of Christ. Now, that was where, you know why, the very moment they got to Jesus, the begat ended. When you read it, you say, this begat that, that begat this, this begat that, that begat this. And Abraham begat Isaac. Isaac begat Jacob. Jacob begat this. All of the begat, they were running towards Jesus. That was why the very moment it got to Jesus, all of the begatting ended. The very moment they got to Christ, it was the end of the begat. Why? Because Jesus is who they were looking for. Jesus is who they were looking for. You can see it there. And Joseph, and Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born of Jesus Christ, who was born of Jesus, called Christ. So all the generations, you see, all the begatting had to come to an end. Because why? We are begatting until we arrive at the main character. Now that we have gotten to the main character, every other begatting is irrelevant. Hallelujah. Give Jesus your praise this morning. So listen, friends. It was Jesus they were looking for. Jesus is the central point of scriptures. Everything before Jesus in the Bible was pointing to Jesus. And everything after Jesus in the Bible leads us back to Jesus. Did you understand that? Everything before Jesus in the Bible was pointing us to Jesus. All of the prophets, all of the minor prophets, the major prophet, the Psalms, the Proverbs, the Ecclesiastes, the Malachi, everything was pointing to Jesus. Everything was pointing to Jesus. Then after Jesus died, every other thing afterwards, Acts of Apostles, you know, Romans, everything was now also leading us back to Jesus. Are you understanding me, friends? And that is why the Bible now tells us in the book of Luke, chapter 24, verse 44 to 46. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Concerning me. Everything that was written was concerning him. Everything that was written was concerning him. Then opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. So Jesus here was doing Bible study with them. So he spoke about the things concerning himself. Why? Because the word of God, because he is the word of God. Why? The word of God is a person, and your Bible is a book. The word of God is a person, and your Bible is a book. The word of God is a person. That is why, you know, I may not be able to carry the Bible, the book, into Saudi Arabia because they said I shouldn't come with the book. But they can't stop me from carrying the word of God into Saudi Arabia because the word of God is a person. I am carrying him. They can't stop me. They can't scan him out of my life. Are you understanding me now? Their scan can detect the book, but their scan cannot detect the word of God that lives on the inside of me. So I don't need to go to Saudi Arabia carrying Bible as long as I'm filled with the word of God. I don't need to go to China carrying Bible as long as I carry the word, because in him I live, in him I move, in him I have my being. Give Jesus praise this morning. That is why when someone doesn't have the word of God and they put the Bible under their pillow, witches still come, take the same Bible and press them. They still come and use the same Bible and press them. And they're trying to say, shh, 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 shh. Because this is a book. The word of God is a person. When you carry Jesus, you don't have to have this book all the time with you. When you carry Jesus, the life of Jesus will flow in that marketplace. The life of Jesus you carry will flow in that business premises. Give the Lord your praise this morning. Hallelujah. So the word of God is a person. The Bible is a book. Never forget that. But we read the Bible so that we can discover the revelation of the person of Jesus. Hallelujah. In Genesis, when you study very well, you see that every scripture ties everything, every chapter, every book in the Bible has something to say about Christ. Everything. In Genesis, he appeared as the seed of the woman that will bruise the head of the serpent. He showed up in the book of Exodus as the Passover lamb. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. In Leviticus, he is the great high priest. In the book of Numbers, he appeared as the brazen serpent that when they look unto him, they are healed. Even though they have been beaten by a serpent, when they can behold him, the brazen serpent, they are delivered. In Deuteronomy, he showed up as the great prophet like Moses. In the book of Joshua, he is the captain of the Lord's army. When he appeared in the battlefield, they said, are you for us or against us? I said, I'm neither here for you or against you. I am here to carry out the will and the purpose of God. I am the commander of heaven's army. When you go to Daniel, he is the fourth man in the fiery furnace. You come to the book of Ruth, he is our kinsman redeemer. You show up in the book of Psalms, he is the good shepherd. Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, he is the wisdom of God. In Isaiah, he appeared to us as a suffering servant. In Jeremiah, Lamentations, he came as the weeping prophet. In Hosea, he came as the faithful husband who is forever married to the backslider. When he told prophet Hosea, go marry the harlot and remain faithful to her even when she's not unfaithful. That is God saying to you and I, no matter how unfaithful you are, I remain faithful because I cannot deny myself. Faithfulness is not my name. Faithfulness is who I am. Give Jesus praise this morning. Give Jesus praise this morning. So he is a faithful husband, forever married to the backslider. That is why you and I can always return back to him. That is why his mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Hallelujah. In Joel, he is the baptizer of the Holy Spirit. In the book of Amos, he is our bedding bearer. In the book of Malachi, he is the son of righteousness that shall arise with healing in his wings over every one of us. Celebrate him this morning. So Jesus is in every book of the Bible. In the 66 books of the Bible, he is there. He is there. He is the symphony of scriptures. Jesus is. And everything about scriptures is pointing us to Jesus. Everything about scriptures points us to Jesus. Lift your voice, thunder after me. Say, I don't have identity crisis. Thunder, I don't have identity crisis. So Jesus is the accurate and precise revelation of the Father. Jesus is God. Jesus is not a prophet. Jesus is God. Never let anybody lie to you that Jesus is a prophet. He's not a prophet. He is not one of the prophets. Jesus is not like Muhammad. No, no, no. Jesus is God. That is where other religions fight us, because they want us to admit that Jesus is a prophet. He's not a prophet. He is God all by himself. He is the creator. He is the first, the last, the Alpha Omega. He is the beginning and the end. Jesus is God. Listen, friends, Jesus is not iPhone 17 and God is iPhone 17 Pro Max. No. Hallelujah. Because often we think that maybe Jesus is iPhone 17, then God is Pro Max. No, no, no. He is God. He is God. Hallelujah. Jesus is God. Give Jesus your highest praise this morning. That is the foundation of our faith. When any believer misses this, they cannot have a fruitful Christian walk. When a believer misses the truth that Jesus is God, they cannot know who they are, because the revelation of Jesus reveals God to you. And when God is revealed to you, your destiny is unveiled. Hallelujah. The prophet Isaiah had this understanding. Listen to what he said in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. I read for you quickly. It says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name, he doesn't have names. His name is called Wonderful Counselor." Not wonderful and counselor. Wonderful Counselor. "The Mighty God. Everlasting Father. The Prince of Peace." Did you see that? His name. Wonderful Counselor. Mighty Father. The Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. Philippians 2 verse 6. He said, "Who although being essentially one with God and in the form of God, possessing the fullness of the attributes which make God God, did not think this equality with God was a thing to be eagerly grasped or retained. Although being essentially one with God and in the form of God, possessing the fullness," Jesus possessed the attributes which makes God God. So when you remove Jesus from our faith, then there is no God. That is why many believers have identity crisis. That is why many believers are dambling between God and Satan. God and Satan. God and Satan. God and Satan. Because to them, Jesus is one way. Ancestors is another way. Amandlos is not another way. They are no way. There's only one way, my friend. Stop confusing your destiny. When believers don't have this understanding, they cannot walk in victory. When believers don't have this understanding, they cannot walk in dominion. The reason why many believers are not walking in dominion the way they ought to walk is because of this lack of understanding. That is why they can't come boldly to the throne of grace to receive, to obtain what is already available. Hallelujah. And the Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 5, verse 20, "And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life." Jesus is the accurate sole representative of God. Hear this, friends. Jesus is not one of the expressions of God. He is the sole expression of God. Jesus is, you know, oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Follow me carefully on this. You know, let's use KFC for example. KFC. You know, you have KFC, you will have branches, franchise, but they're all KFCs. But there's a headquarter in I think it's in Kentucky. That's why it's called Kentucky Fried Chicken. I think so. But it's from the US. God is not the headquarter. And Jesus is the branch. Where we have the headquarters of KFC in the United States of America. Then now we now have KFC franchises, branches all over the place. No, 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 no. God is not the headquarters and Jesus is the branch. No, Jesus and God, they are headquarters together. Give Jesus praise. Are you understanding me, friends? So he said here, that this is the true God and eternal life. Even his son, Jesus Christ, is the true God. He is the true God and eternal life. Hear this, friends. God, Jesus, is not one of the expressions of God. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, I read, he is the sole expression of the glory of God, the light being, the outraying or radiance of the divine. He is the perfect imprint, very image of God, God's nature, upholding, maintaining, guiding, propelling the universe by his mighty word of power. When he had, by offering himself, accomplished our cleansing of sins and riddance of guilt, he sat at the right hand of the divine majesty on high. Perfect imprint. And that is why when Jesus is revealed, the believer is unveiled. When Jesus is revealed, the believer is unveiled. When we are saying that 2025 is our year of light, this is the light that lights us up. The revelation of Jesus. The revelation of Jesus unveils us, lights us up, so that we can shine in the midst of darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Listen, friends, the revelation of Jesus shows you the nature of God and reveals to you your identity. So when you see Jesus, that is how you find your identity. That is why when Jesus is revealed, the believer is unveiled. When Jesus is revealed, the believer is unveiled. It is only the revelation of Christ that unveils the believer. That is why I can safely say to you, you don't have identity crisis if Jesus is revealed to you. You don't have identity crisis. And when you see the first time the word church, ecclesia, came up in the Bible, which was in the book of Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, Jesus said, upon the revelation of me, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What makes a church is not the lights and the LED screens and all of those things, not the beautiful stage, as beautiful as they are, as nice as they are. That is not what makes a church. Listen, friends, if lights and LED screens and beautiful stage is what makes a church, then Chris Brown concert at FMB Stadium was a mighty church service, which some of you attended. Amen. You're pretending as if now, who is Chris Brown? You know. Stop pretending as if you don't know. Some of you paid 3,000 rands and your phone was stolen in the process. If lights and LED screen is what makes a church, then all of the nightclubs will become, is now church services. What makes church is that Jesus, when we gather together, we are discussing Jesus. If all that we do is to have a nice time with lights and all of those things, then what we have just had is a nightclub in the morning. There are many places where there are nightclubs. Jesus is not discussed. There are nightclubs. It's business centers. They are exchanging phone numbers, exchanging business cards. They are connecting to one another. You know, let's connect. No. The church, the primary assignment of the church of Jesus Christ is to discuss Christ. Every other thing is, and it's, I don't have any grammar for it. That is why you see churches will strive to want to have beautiful lights and things. The lights is what the people are looking for. Lights is not what anybody is looking for. I preached this same Jesus when we were in Corner Excelsior and Jesus took over the territory. Lives were being transformed. Destinies were being altered. Why? Because Jesus is the central focus. The LED, with or without it, the gospel remains the same. Jesus remains Lord. Give Jesus praise this morning. So when we gather like this, we talk about Christ. That's why I don't tell you where my tribe is from, because my tribe is irrelevant. The blood, there is the most important thing. And you don't belong here because, you know, you're from my village. If that's why you belong here, then something is wrong. If you belong to a church because the man speaks your language, from time to time he will say, akere, akere, akere. then something is wrong. You have a problem. Because you're not looking for Christ, you're looking for a tribesman. You might as well go and attend village meeting. Hallelujah. Give Jesus your praise this morning. Give him praise this morning. Jesus is the central focus. What makes church church is that we have gathered to talk about Christ. Hallelujah. And hear me, friends. Any church built on the revelation of Jesus, no gates of hell can be able to prevail against it. I prophesy over you. The gates of hell will not prevail against you in the name of Jesus. The gates of hell will not prevail against your family in the name of Jesus. Thunder Jesus! Let's read together Matthew 16 quickly. A few more minutes, quickly. Matthew 16. Verse 17 to 18, Message translation. Quickly, let's read together. He said, God bless you, Simon, son of Jonah. You didn't get that answer out of books or from teachers. He said, my Father in heaven, God himself, let you in on this, on this secret of mine. Okay, let's read together. The count of three. One, two, three, go. Read it louder. God, hush. In on this secret of who I really am. And now I am going to tell you who you are. Stop there. He said, now that you have been let into this secret of who I really am. He said, now I'm going to unveil you. Now I'm going to tell you who you are. That is why when we know who Jesus is, we know who we are. When we know who Jesus is, we know what we can do. When we know who Jesus is, we know what is available. Give the Lord your praise this morning. He said, now that you know who I really am, I am now going to show you who you really are. And he now continued and showed him who he was. Hallelujah. When Jesus was revealed, Peter was unveiled. I pray for you in this season. You will be unveiled in the name of Jesus. In the marketplace, you'll be unveiled in the name of Jesus. Your career unveiled in the name of Jesus. Your destiny unveiled in the name of Jesus. Your marital destiny unveiled in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord your highest praise this morning. Hallelujah. That is why you and I need to know who Jesus is. We need to know who Jesus is. We need to know who Jesus is. And we need to know why Jesus came. Because if Jesus came and he only performed miracles, healed the sick, delivered the oppressed, and didn't die, his purpose of coming would have been a monumental failure. If all that Jesus came was to heal the sick, perform miracles, deliver the oppressed, then it would have been a failure, him coming. Hear this, friends. The reason why Jesus functioned in the supernatural and allowed you and I to witness it and see it through scriptures is because he wants you and I, he was showing to you and I our abilities in him. That you and I can also live supernaturally. So friends, Jesus came to die. And that was why all of the apostles of Jesus Christ, one of the things you will notice is they never made any reference to the parable of Jesus. They never made any reference to the parable of Jesus. Because all the parable that Jesus gave, he was speaking to unbelievers. And he did that because they didn't have the capacity to receive the truth he was about to give them. And that was why when Jesus was leaving the earth, listen to what he said to his disciples, John 16, 13 to 14. But when he, the spirit of truth, the truth-giving spirit comes, he will guide you into all the truth, the whole full truth. For he will not speak his own message on his own authority, but he will tell whatever he hears from the Father. He will give the message that has been given to him. He will announce and declare to you the things that are to come that will happen in the future. He will honor and glorify me, because he will take off, receive, draw upon that what is mine and will reveal, declare, disclose, transmit it to you. Then the next verse is so important. Go to the next verse. You know, because if you stop there, you think that he's talking about the Father. He now came back and said, everything that the Father have is mine. That is what I meant When I said, he, the Spirit, will take the things that are mine and will reveal, declare, disclose, and transmit it to you. That is to say, me and God, we are one. So when I was talking about the Father, I wasn't talking about someone else. I was talking about myself. Hey! Listen, friends. That is why the Holy Spirit came to reveal Jesus. You know, the Christian world treats, I'm going to teach on the Holy Spirit sometime this year as well, make it look like the Holy Spirit has come on his own mission. No, no, no. The Holy Spirit coming didn't cancel Jesus. He came to reveal Jesus. That's why he will take and reveal. Anything the Holy Spirit reveals is what he has taken from Jesus and revealing it to you and I. Give the Lord your praise this morning. Hallelujah. So the gospel, as I release you to go, the gospel is about the death, the burial, the resurrection, the glorification of Christ. Hear this, Jesus didn't come to preach. He didn't come to do miracles. Jesus came to die. And what did that death do for you? I will show you next week. Hallelujah. Jesus didn't come to preach. He didn't come to do miracles. He came to die. And what that death means for you and I will reveal it to you next week. Hallelujah. Were you blessed this morning? Give Jesus praise. Let's rise on our feet. Hallelujah.
Thank you so much for listening. We believe you are blessed by the word. For more, please visit our website, www.alivewithjoseph.com, as well as subscribe to our YouTube channel, Alive with Joseph Mogocha. Till next time, God bless.